Guys, the title for the message today is Jesus is building his church. Jesus is building his church. And Jesus is building this church. He is the one who is forming and building and strengthening and encouraging and teaching and training and equipping us. And we need to be very, I have our ears open and our hearts open to what God is doing here. We're going to start in Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that this word would be made alive to us, that the truth of your word would be made known. Father, speak to us clearly through your word. We thank you for it. We thank you that it is without error. Lord, we thank you that it is your truth to guide us, to show us where you would have us go and how you'd have us do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Jesus is speaking here, he's talking to who? To his disciples, right? So he's talking to his disciples and he say, "Hey, who do the people say the Son of Man is? Who are people saying I am?" And they start giving all these different answers. "Well, he must be a prophet, or maybe he's Old Testament, New Testament. You know, he's somebody who speaks for God." And then he makes it more personal and he says, "But what about you?" Who's he talking to there? Directly to the disciples. Do all of them answer? Only one answers. And I think this is interesting because it's easy for us to kind of get a little bit thinking he was speaking directly to Peter here. He's speaking to his disciples. And as he's speaking to his disciples, one of them speaks and reveals and shares the truth about who he is. One of them. "Who do you say that I am?" And then it says, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Think about what this is saying. You are God made flesh. You are the one that we've been waiting for. You're the Messiah. You're the one that all our hopes and dreams are in. All our whole future, our eternity is in. And then Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." What you say about who Jesus is defines who you are. What you say about who Jesus is defines who you are. Where do you stand with God? Have you received what he has done, what only he could do? Or are you trying to achieve some of this on your own? Are you trying to be good enough to be received by God? Are you trying to get to where, okay, now I'm worthy to be received by God? Or are you resting and trusting and receiving from Jesus Christ what he's done on your behalf? Matthew 3:17 says, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my son with whom I am well pleased.'" As Jesus was being baptized, he's saying, God is saying about Jesus, "This is my son whom I'm well pleased." He's saying the same thing that Peter is saying. "This is my son." He's of God. Guys, as we come today, as we come to church, why do we do church? I mean, it's beautiful outside. It's beautiful out there. Why are you here? Amen. You know, it's interesting to me that I've heard a few times people say, I've overheard people say what time church starts. And they say, well, worship starts at 10:30, but church starts around 11. And that is wrong. Guys, the number one reason why we are at church, the number one reason is to bring praise and glory to God. Amen. It's to lift God up and to come together to lift him up, to praise him for who he is. Everything else flows from that. If we don't start there, we're starting in the wrong place and we're going to be going in the wrong direction. Verse 18 of Matthew 16 says, "And I tell you that you are Peter." This is right after verse 17. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, son of Jonah, for Jesus, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." And then he says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it." They will not be able to stand against it. This is God's church. Now we've got the church in general, all believers of all time, but we've also got the local church. And we are a body, we are a family. And in this family, we are called to do business for God, to be on movement, on mission for God. And I love how it says, and I tell you, you are Peter. You know, the nickname that's his nickname. It means rock. It's interesting. When Jesus first meets, talks about it, I think in John 1, when Jesus first meets Peter, he gives him a nickname. You know, you thought Johnson, who is it? Dwayne Johnson was the rock, the first rock? No, Dwayne Johnson wasn't the first rock. The first rock is Peter. He gives him the nickname, the rock. His name actually means the rock. And it's interesting because sometimes as Jesus talks to him in the New Testament, when Peter is messing up, he'll use the name that means his name. That's his original name. And sometimes when he's doing really, really well and he's honoring God and he's making good choices, Jesus refers to him as the rock. And I love that. I love that Jesus gives him a nickname. Gives him a new name, gives him something. And here he then brings him into why that was. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." See, the disciples had a serious mission to accomplish. That was bringing, after Jesus goes to be with the Father, after death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, the disciples, man, they've got to figure out a way. How do we get this message of what God has done for us to the people? So we're going to look at the purpose of the church. What is the purpose of the church? Number one, as I was alluding to before, it's ministry to God. It's ministry to God. It's worship, guys. It's worship. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Ephesians 1:12, in order that we who are the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise and glory of God. We're called to bring the praise and the glory to God. Do you love God? Guys, that's why we're here, to love him back, to enjoy him, to take our greatest pleasure in him. We've already heard from a few people that it's been a tough week for a number of you. It's been a challenging week for some. How do we put that stuff in its proper place? I think the number one thing that we do is we worship God. We enjoy him. We focus not our eyes on ourselves, not our eyes on our own situation, but we put our heart and our mind on who God is and what he is doing and what he has done. Can we go to the next slide here? Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 says this: through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly professes his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is praised. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips. Guys, one of the things that we're called to do is have what comes out of our mouth match what's happening in our lives. Because that's worship. How are we worshiping God? When we come together, when we sing his praises, that is worship. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Worship also comes as we come and the fruit of the lips that openly profess the name, and we don't forget to do the good that we've been singing and sharing and learning about. And that is worship. That is a living sacrifice, an offering, a worshiping God. You know, one of the things I think that's needed more than anything else in the church is passionately loving God back. Because as you guys are going through hard times, as we are going through hard times, as we experience different challenges at home, at work, at church, as we're going through these things, God is the one that we hold on to. He is the one we hold on to with both hands. He's the one that's going to get us through. He's the one that's going to show us what to do and how to do it. We need to start with worshiping God. Where do you stand? Where do you stand with God in worshiping him, in enjoying him, and loving him back? How are you doing this week? How are you doing right now? Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that the truth would touch us in a new way. Father, forgive us for looking at you through our own lenses. Father, forgive us for having so many moments where our eyes are off of you and on us, and on what we're thinking about and what we want. Father, forgive us for being so self-focused. It is so easy for us to make us the centerpiece and to put you off to the side, God. This is your story, Lord. This is your truth. We're learning about you and how we fit in with you. Lord, I pray that you would humble us right now. Lord, Father, I'm just sensing a spirit of that's trying to come in and bring confusion here. So, Father, we claim in the name of Jesus Christ a spiritual covering right now, Lord, that we would be able to see what it means and know what it means to worship you. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for our judgment. Forgive us for our self-awareness that goes to such extreme and becomes self-focus. Father, we ask that you would move through your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the purpose of the church? Ministry to God, enjoying God, praising God, glorifying God. It's also, the next one is ministry to believers. We are called to minister to one another, to those who are in faith. Colossians 1:28 says, he is the one we proclaim. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in who? In Christ. So guys, why are we here? To glorify God. From that flows what? Ministry to each other. Ministry to believers. Proclaiming the truth of God. Who he is. What he's done. Where we fit in him, with him. And teaching everyone with all wisdom. Not all knowledge. But all wisdom. There's been a lot of times where people have asked me questions and I've had to have this for my answer. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. But let's pray. Let's seek God's word. Let's find out. See, wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God. I've had a couple of conversations with people this week. It just hit me right now. A couple of conversations with people this week where the question was asked by two separate people, what do I do? What should I do? It's not my place to answer that. God knows. Pray, seek God on this. Seek his truth. Because if he's telling you, you will know. If I'm telling you, it could be wrong. But let's seek it out so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. How are we doing on that, guys? It's humbling, isn't it, when you hear those words, fully mature in Christ. If it's not humbling, pray hard. If those words kind of make your back stiffen up and say, yeah. If that's kind of a, or if those words make you look at somebody else and think, I hope they hear this. Be careful here, guys. So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Maturity requires humility. You don't get one without the other. You can't have maturity without humility in Christ. Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. Part of the verses from the verses that God gave me as my life verses. It says, as it's talking about the purpose of the church, to equip his people for works of service. As it gets before this, as it gives a list of people in leadership in the church and what we're called to do, it's to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. There's that word again. Attaining to the whole measure of Christ and of the fullness of Christ. Guys, we're called to equip in the church. We're to equip and prepare people for ministry. That means we need to be serving. We need to be using the gifts that God has given us. And to each person, you've been given gifts that are different than the one sitting next to you. And your gift is not better. And their gift is not better. It's different. Because it gives, we get over and over in Scripture these pictures of all the gifts being used. It's like the body, the physical body that we have. So now, some are, I mean, do we have any pinkies in here? How important it, I can't dunk a basketball without my pinky. Each part we tend to think of as we put, oh, I want to be the eye. I want to have the vision of the church. I want to be something important like the eye or the brain or the heart. Guess what? God chooses where you serve. God gives you those gifts at the plate, at the point of salvation. You're given a gift or a gift mix to use for the glory of God. Guys, we got to see this morning. I was in tears this morning as we were singing, as we were worshiping. See, we got to see people use their gifts, and it speaks to us because people are using their gifts, and I get a clearer understanding of who God is by others using their gifts. And the thoughts and the questions that I have and the things racing. One of the biggest challenges, guys, in sharing a message is trying to figure out what I'm not going to say. Because I only got a certain amount of time. There's so much I want to... And God is saying, no. And that time of worship is also a time where God's bringing clarity. Because I've got what I've prepared, and at times God says, that was right, and at other times he says, you know what, I want to speak today. Amen. And this is what I want you to say, because it's from me. So I want you to lean in this direction. I want you to lean over here. I know you prepared this, but lean over here. And it's tough. It is tough to give up what you prepare. It's a battle every single time. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We're building something that Christ is building and leading the build. We get to be a part of what Jesus Christ himself is doing. Guys, think about that. We're on mission from God. Is there any better purpose in life than to be about the business of God? At work, you're on mission for God. You're on mission for God at your places of work. That means this time of preparing and equipping is preparing you so that when things go poorly at work, and I promise you, guess what? They will. Because work has the same problems of church, which is it's full of people. And we tend to step on each other, don't we? We tend to need a little too much wiggle room at times, and elbows get flying. How do we respond? How do we seek God? How do we put God first in what we are doing at work? At times, it's very clear, isn't it? And guys, honestly, if you're trying to follow God, at times, it is very, very unclear. Because we've got the Spirit of God working through us and our knowledge working against the wisdom of God. And sometimes it's hard to steer in the right direction according to the Spirit of God. It says to keep in step with the Spirit. We're to keep in step with the Spirit, and we have to be humble. Guys, it is terribly difficult, especially when you're in a situation that's difficult, to be humble. Some of you have, I know this week, have experienced times where somebody has said something to you that was not right, it was not fair, it was not good. I've watched that happen a few times. I've heard about it a few times. Man. One situation that I saw, I said to my brother today, I was touched by how God gave you wisdom in not responding. Guys, it's hard. It's hard to know how to love, how to use what God is bringing into us. But we're called to nurture and equip, to be preparing each other, to be nurturing and equipping each other for what God has for us today, not just tomorrow. And I think sometimes we get lost on what we're getting ready to do tomorrow, and we forget about God is speaking to us today. There is the preparation for tomorrow. There's also the moving forward today, the being available to the Holy Spirit. How do you know what God's will is? If you want to know something, what's the best thing to do? Ask. Go to the source and ask. You do not have because you do not
ask.
Man, it's so simple, isn't it? You do not have because you do not ask. God is directing us. And as each situation comes up today, ask. Before you speak, okay, take a moment. Because if you don't, it's going to be remove foot from mouth. And now move forward. It's going to be Peter, that's right. Yeah, yeah. You know, on that note, I always love Peter because he does speak from the heart, and he often puts his foot in his mouth, and I can relate to that a bit. I always wish I was more like Paul, who... But so what is the purpose of the church? Ministry to God, ministry to believers. It's also ministry to non-believers in the world. Evangelism and mercy. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, guys, this is an area that we really need to really focus on as the church. And not to the exclusion of the other two, because first we focus on Christ, and the other two flow from that. But this is an area that, especially as we talk about evangelism that spreads out as in Acts, because it's so easy to understand the need in our own backyard. We see it, we live it. But non-believers around the world are important to God, so they need to be important to us. We have to have a vision that's not a selfish vision. See, I see my backyard. This affects me. Right out on these streets right out here, this affects my world. What happens in Skyway, in Renton, in South Seattle, in Tukwila, in Kent, what happens around here, it affects my life, my children's life, my family's life, my church's life. It's my sphere of influence. It affects me. I naturally want to get involved here. And God says, if my vision only goes for as far as I can see at the moment, my vision is not God's vision. Yeah. And this is sometimes in the church, we struggle with this one. Because often we want to minister what we see, to what we see. And it says in Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We need to have our vision go beyond what we see. We need to have our mercy and our love go beyond what affects us directly. Let me ask you this, guys. If I'm giving to people I'll never see in this life, I'm trusting that God is moving. If God is leading me to give, whether it's in prayer or finances or in relationship and write letters to missionaries that I've only read about and seen on boards. When Julie and I were missionaries in Uganda, we had people write to us sometimes. We didn't know who they were, but it was words of encouragement. We had people that got our newsletter and were praying for us, and we didn't know till years later that they had even seen it. And they were praying for us. We need to have a bigger, God has a big vision. God sees all of creation. He sees the world, and his heart is there for the world. And I just want to encourage us. We do a good job of seeing our backyard. We need to continue to grow in the area of seeing what's not visible.
That's right. If you look at that map in the back,
thank you.
The United States is very small. I don't know if you can find Seattle, perhaps, but you're not going to find Skyway, Trenton.
Yeah.
It's a world map.
Yeah. But guys, thank you, Carol. I would encourage you on your way out. We've got the new missions board that's being worked on, and it's coming along. It's exciting to see, guys. There are missionaries that are connected with this church that are serving God. Do we know who they are? Are we praying for them? Is God leading you to give? You know what? If you give to this church and that's all you give, it's not giving enough. It's not. You need to be giving where God is directing you. Your heart needs to be excited and passionate about what God is doing around the world. And guys, here's the challenge with that. This is the reality that we feel. And some of you might be thinking it right now. Pastor, don't you understand we have enough problems of our own? Yes, we do. And then some. But we're not the center of the world. We're not the focus. God's the focus. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of what? Of all nations. Therefore, go. God says it again and again. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's the same Trinity. It's the same God, three persons, one God. It's the same God that moves into all of the world. Not just our corner. This isn't the area where God is most concerned with. It's the area where I'm most concerned with. Where we're most concerned, because it affects us. But by the grace of God, our vision will be beyond what we can see. Evangelism and mercy. Acts 11:29, the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for brothers and sisters living in Judea. I love that, as each was able. As each was able. Where are you able to help and love and give and serve and do? What has God gifted you at? What? And if he's gifted you at something, he'll put a passion in you for that. There will be something inside of you that needs to serve using your gifts there. There will be something that, as you think about what God is asking you to do, it's going to be risky. Because God's vision is bigger than yours and mine. We have such a small vision of what God wants to do. Our understanding is minuscule. God's vision for this church is monstrous. It's huge. It's going to touch the ends of the earth. It's going to start in our own back. It's going to start in our hearts. Into our fellowship, into our community, into Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And I love that Samaria is included there in Acts 1:8, because that's the place that nobody wants to go. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews, by the Jewish people. Hated. It's a big word, isn't it? And here's Jesus. Here's the teaching of his word saying, guys, we got some business to take care of. And it includes the people you hate. Convicting, isn't it? Second Corinthians 8:4 says, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. Pleading to serve. I love that. Pleading to share. Guys, in your prayers, do you find yourself pleading to God so that you can share what you have? God, please give me an opportunity to share with this brother, this sister today. Please give me an opportunity to love somebody who's unlovable today. I got to be honest with you. I don't often find myself praying that prayer. And then it ends with this as we finish off in Matthew 16 in the last two verses. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Anybody interested in having the keys to the kingdom? Okay, so Thomas just got his permit for driving. Very exciting stuff. Today he did a little driving. He's doing pretty good. I'm impressed. And I'm not hanging on the side of the car too much like this, am I, Thomas? No. You know what, Thomas? It was Saturday, so yesterday. You know what he said every time we get near the car? Can I have the keys? He sees where the keys are right now. He's got the keys on his brain. When you get the keys to the car for the first time, you want the keys more and more, right? Okay. Remember when you were 15, 16 years old and you got the keys for the first time? For some of you, it was a little later. I was 16 in 3 days. I got my driver's license. Man, you want the keys. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the keys, you value something new. And here's the keys of the kingdom. And now what is on earth becomes what? What is the value of the things on earth? Are they greater now as you get the keys to the kingdom? So now all of a sudden, what makes us passionate is eternal things, right? So now, man, we've got something new. And I love that it all goes in Christ's timing. See, one thing we've got to remember, and I just want to close with this, is as God moves, he moves according to his purpose and in his time. Many of you are praying through different things.
new situations at work, new situations at home, new areas of ministry. You've got a lot on your heart, and there's a lot to offer up. And God's timing is not always our timing. So I want to encourage you. His timing's better than your timing. And that can sound, in a certain situation, it can sound almost mean-spirited, can it? Because if you're struggling with something, a physical struggle, if you've got something that you're struggling with, God's timing feels like it should be now. If you've got something with yourself, or even more, if someone that you love, you want that timing to be now. But God's timing is better. And that means what? It means that we trust God when we don't understand everything. We got to trust Him. Got to trust God. And that's also true in prayer. And guys, can I have you guys, actually, can I have your whole family come on up here and just stand in the middle here? Gentlemen, come on in here. And guys, let's stand up and come in close. Can you share just for a minute of what we can pray for you?
I think a week or two ago, I wrote a prayer request to pastor in the church. I found out March 30th that I was diagnosed with breast cancer. It's in its early stages. It's treatable. And everything sung today, preached today, every hug just ministered to my heart. And I'm going to trust God and reach out to my church family here to pray for me and my family. And I'm just thankful and grateful for this time.
Guys, whoever wants to lead in prayer, lead, and then I'll close. Go ahead and put a hand on somebody in front of you on their shoulder. Get hands on the family.
Lord, Father in heaven, Pastor, we come before you. Pastor Matthew was saying, just praise your name, Lord. You are so deserving. And so just the God that we praise and Lord, we do that because you loved us first, Father, and you were after each and every one of us, Father, and each and every one of our needs is before you, and not one of those things is missed. Lord, thank you so much for your church, Father, Lord, for bringing these people together. As different as we are, we're all the same because of you, Father. We have a purpose on you, Father. We belong to you. And Lord, because of that, Lord, we put our trust in you, Lord. We see this. We see this unity in this body, and it's so different. Anything else in the world, Father. It's unbelievable what you can do, Father. If you can change hearts, what else can you do? Lord, you can heal her. Lord, you can heal her. Because that's who you are, Father. That's what your word says, right? That's what we believe. Lord, we're not afraid, Father. Lord, give her peace, Father. Give her courage, give her strength. Lord, give her, yes, comfort her. Yes.
Jesus, you say where two or more are gathered, you are there, Jesus. We thank you that you are here, Lord. We declare that this family does not stand alone, Jesus. We are their family, Jesus. Lord, we pray the great healer that you are, Jesus, the healer, redeemer, that you put this, your hand on her and the whole family, Jesus. Unite them, give them strength, heal her body, Jesus. We thank you that we can stand together, Jesus, on your rock. Lord, we thank you that you are our strength. Jesus, we thank you that we are a family who stands together.
Father, we just want to thank you for being our ever-present help in trouble. Father, you said that your stripes we are healed. Father, let our hope be into that, Lord. Let not our feelings or anything, situation dictate what the truth is, Father. Help us to be consistent in your word and to worship you and to trust you.
Father, we just thank you so much that you are good, that you are holy, that you are powerful. And Lord, we pray for Rachel. We pray for this family right now. We pray that they would suffer well. Lord, that they would bring honor and glory to your name by how they suffer, by how they struggle, Lord. May it bring glory to you. And Father, we don't just ask that. We also ask for your healing.
Yes.
In the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the struggle, Lord, we pray that you would reach down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lord, that you would do what only you can do.
Yeah.
Lord, we ask for healing, complete healing. We ask it for your way, in your way and in your time.
Yes.
Lord, if you choose to move miraculously, we receive it. If you choose to work through the doctors, through the nurses, through the hospital, we receive it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you choose to move quickly or slowly, we receive it and we trust you. Lord, we just thank you that... Lord, we thank you for this family as they are newer to us. And yet, Lord, you are so good. We thank you that, Lord, that we get to go through this together.
Thank you.
Lord, that we get to stand with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That we get to be the church with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, move mightily. Do a mighty work.
Mm-hmm.
Not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Do a mighty work here, Lord.
Yeah.
Involve all of us in that mighty work
mm-hmm.
that you are doing. Lord, we thank you so much that you are here.
Mm-hmm.
We lift this family to you, Lord. We trust you with them because you are trustworthy. We place them in your hands, and we're grateful we can. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, for what you're going to do, for what you've done. Lord, thank you that there is so much going on here that we don't see, that there are glimpses behind the curtain here that we don't understand. Your Holy Spirit is not only, you are moving through your people in a mighty way. So, Father, we receive what you give with joy and with peace. We as a family receive what you give. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So guys, that's as we finish up with the message, that's part of the message. That's the focus of the message. That's the church being the church. This is church, guys. This is church. This is church. Going through it together, this is church. Loving on each other, this is church. God leading us, this is church. This is what we're talking about. Lord, thank you for this time. Use your word. Use your word well in our lives. Humble us. Break us down. Build us back up in your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen.